All right, here we go. Episode 19. Look at me. Early in the month, we're only 7 days in, and I've got a new episode for you. So I don't know if I'll be able to get in another one, but at least I'm hitting my goal so far this year. So yay me. In this episode, I'm just covering some light news, but I had a really cool conversation with a bunch of guys at our show recently, and they were asking me, you know, how come I don't do the unrelated stuff or do any unrelated stuff in the podcast? And it just never occurred to me. If you don't follow me on my Facebook or you don't catch it regularly, if you go back through my posts, every once in a while, and I always put it at the top, unrelated, feel free to skip. Because, you know, some people follow me very specifically for automotive content and they don't give a shit about, you know, me or my personal life, which is completely understandable. Like, how weird would it be if I thought everybody cared? But I guess some people do. So if that's not you, that's fine. I'll put all the unrelated stuff, you know, kind of towards the end so that you can blast through it if you want, or stick around. I hope you stick around. And if I get, you know, more feedback on it, maybe I'll keep that going forward. But episode 19, here we go. I hope you guys enjoy it. As always, you know, follow me on my Facebook if you're not already. The Lowered, and my Instagram is The Lowered HMFIC. I do post longer format stuff on my website, which I feel like I'm getting closer to having a storefront up again, but we'll see. I had some test pieces that I ordered that I wasn't super stoked on, but I don't know. Fingers crossed. We'll see how things go. But longer format posts are there every once in a while, and you know, of course, follow me, like me, do all the things. And here we go, episode 19. So I don't know if I'll include this in the podcast. I'm kind of going back and forth on it because it was a weird interaction, and I may have come off as more of a dick than I meant to. But you know how you get kind of like roped into a conversation that you didn't want to have? This is kind of one of those times. So I was at a Cars and Coffee, and I was in the Sonomare, a little mini truck that I'm restoring, built by Rick Pettibone, who was the manager at Ultra Truck Works. And I just absolutely love this truck. It's not looking its best right now because I don't have the Boyds on it. They are back. They're polished. They're at Ultra Truck Works. I'm looking into having them ceramic coated. I have the tires back on the rims yet. And I'm also looking at having them measured so I know exactly what sizing I need, because I have another set of wheels in mind that I want. And I want them to sit and fit exactly the way Rick had it. So I also have found a body shop. But I'll talk more about that another time. So anyway, I'm sitting there on these, you know, stock rollers that the guys at Ultra Truck Works were kind enough to loan me while, you know, we get the body work done and the paint redone. And I was kind of leaning on the truck, and I was talking with somebody else, and a car that was parked in close proximity to me happened to be, you know, one of the overlanding kind of guys. And I don't know if it was the guy's truck or the girl's truck, but it was one of those trucks, and it's going to sound like I'm talking shit. I'm absolutely not. I love these things, and I am a sucker for the accoutrement of anything. You know, like, I love the little accessories. Get me at a lowrider show, and I'll talk to the bomb guys about every little accessory that they have. You know, the GM branded shaver, you know, that plugs into the cigarette lighter, or the cigarette roller that goes on the steering column. Or, I mean, I have the little pipe holder. I don't even smoke. I have a pipe holder and a pipe on the dash. It's a little magnetic holder of my 41 Buick. I love that shit. So the overlanding stuff, you know, especially the guys that go super hard in the paint and they get all the gear, like, I love that shit too. So again, I'm not talking shit. I genuinely do think that stuff is pretty cool. However, I'm sitting there leaning on Sonomare, and I'm kind of getting these like snide looks, you know, and I was like, well, that's weird. You know, what's that all about? And one of the girls, or the girl that was in this group, you know, but the guy and the girl, I'm not, again, not sure whose truck it was. She's like, oh, I could never own something like that because I wouldn't feel safe. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, she just doesn't understand air suspension. So I started trying, I was like, oh no, it's bagged. You know, I can raise it up. You know, I started going into that, like the explanation, if you have a bagged or a lowered vehicle, it's an explanation you've given a million times. So I kind of started going into that and she just interrupted me. She's like, no, no, no. You know, I have this because, you know, if things go sideways, I need a vehicle that I can rely on, that I can get away from things. And I kind of knew what she meant. We have a lot of folks that are into like the prepping and I mean that comes with all its own like gear. And so I kind of like looking at those sites myself, but I mean, that's not my mentality, but I was like, well, what do you mean? Like this, it's got a V6 in it. It's an S10. It doesn't, I mean, hardly get more reliable than that, or S15, same thing. Doesn't hardly get more reliable than that. Gets great mileage. Like, what are you talking about specifically? And she's like, oh, you know, like if you're in a place and there's like riots, you know, I want something that's lifted with four wheel drive. You know, I want to be able to get out of the way. I want to be able to escape. And you know, if like an EMP happens, or you know. She starts going into all the whole apocalypse, like worst case scenarios, and how she thinks that this like Toyota is going to magically delicious deliver her to Eden or some shit. And I kind of lean back and I let her go into her, you know, explanation. And she had this like real air of superiority. And, you know, her dude was like behind her, you know, with that like slow nod of appreciation, you know, of like all the bullshit that she was laying on me. And I'm not going to say that I have never had those thoughts about like having a four wheel drive being a good idea, but I also am a very practical person, and you wouldn't think so by the dumb shit that I'd build and drive. But if I'm going to buy something, you know, for that, you know, as a tool to accomplish a certain job, you really got to think about what that job is. And so I kind of looked at her and I was like, okay, so this is your apocalypse wagon. You know, that's what she was calling it. And she's like, yeah, it sure is. And I'm like, well, that's just a Toyota 4Runner. And she goes, oh yeah, but I've done all these things to it. And I was like, okay, cool story. But you know, that truck, you know, let's say that shit goes sideways and you've got a full tank of gas. And she's like, yeah, hopefully. And I'm like, okay, so that thing gets what? Like 17 miles per gallon stock, which isn't even as good as the mileage I get in my supercharged 5.3 crew cab drop truck on 22s. But that's another story. And hers was lifted and had much bigger, heavier wheels on it. And I was like, so you probably don't even get 17 miles per gallon. And she was like, well, no, you know, the mileage isn't great. And I'm like, okay, well, let's say you can get 300 miles out of a full tank, you know, but the world's over, right? So let's say that somehow you're able to reliably drive that thing 300 miles in any direction. Then what? You know, do you anticipate there being a lot of open gas stations in the apocalypse? Like, what then? And she just kind of like stared at me like it had never occurred to her that she wouldn't be able to buy fuel in the, you know, in her own imaginary apocalypse. And I'm just like, let's say I have the same fuel and my vehicle is lowered. And I have the same range. I may not be able to drive it off road, but I mean, if the world's over, the world's fucking over. Where are you gonna go? So, I mean, it wasn't the first time I've heard somebody with a lifted vehicle kind of run that line of bullshit towards me, but I think this was the first time I really engaged in it, and I definitely let some of the air out of both, you know, this chick and her dude's tires on. And I can't say that I feel bad about it, but on the other hand, I don't know. I didn't want to be like, I wasn't trying to come off mean. I was just like, oh, okay, well then what, you know? So you've driven your 300 miles, you know, where are you going to swipe your card to tank this, you know, awesome battle wagon up after that? You know, basically if shit goes sideways, we're all in the same boat. We're all screwed, was kind of what I was trying to get at. But anyway, I thought it was funny. The two or three folks that were standing around the car when, you know, or around me when this couple walked up and started having this conversation with me, they, you know, were like, oh, wow. I guess never thought about that and that kind of shit. But, I don't know. Do you guys get these conversations? Am I the only one these weird semi-confrontational things happen to at Cars and Coffee? I'm like, why? What am I putting out that this key, like these things seem to follow me around on occasion? Anyway, so yeah, that was weird. Moving on. All right, you guys know it took me a long time to find the right bed cover for Truckee Verde. Shaving the tailgate had the look I wanted, but it also made it next to impossible to find a bed cover because all the bed covers I could find required dropping the tailgate first. Obviously, tailgate shaved, you can't do that. Also wanted to make sure I found a cover that didn't block my view out of the rear window when I had it open. And Paragon covered both of those things. I definitely recommend checking them out. Their product is made in the United States. It's aluminum panels, so you don't have to worry about some material going bad or getting sun-checked or bleached. And when you fold it up, it goes up against the cab, but it's inside the bed, so it doesn't block your view out the back window. And it's made in the United States, so you can't beat that. And if you go to their website at peragon.com and you pick out your bed cover and you put in the code THELOWERED15, that's the lowered 15, you get 15% off. So yeah, check them out. They're badass. Big thanks to Paragon. We definitely love the cover on Truckee Verde. Okay, so Dodge seems to be breaking the internet today in the release with the release of their Charger Challenger replacement platform, today being March 5th. I posted about it already, and I am going to do my best to hold back an opinion on the looks of the vehicle until I can see it in person. I'm definitely, when it comes to big changes like that, I'm for sure a late adopter. It took me a while to come around to the OBS body style when Chevy went from the square to the, you know, the rounder version. It took me a while to come around on a lot of things. I'm definitely that guy that, you know, I'll be like, hey, have you heard of this new band, the Black Keys? And people are like, dude, that band's been around for like 50 years. And I'm like, oh, I just heard it the other day. I mean, that's not a good look. I'm admitting that it's not good, but sometimes it takes me a while to make sure I like something. So I don't know if that'll be the case with this one. If you guys remember, the concepts for this car were pretty good, like most concept cars are. Obviously, you know, bean counters and crash tests and, you know, things get involved and the concepts evolve and look worse as they get closer to production, unfortunately, in most cases. But Stellantis had made this car kind of the flagship car for their proof that they could transition from the Hemi to something else and still remain relevant. Obviously, that remains to be seen. It'll be interesting, especially with the pullout that so many other manufacturers have been doing in regards to the electric market. Ford's made announcements in regards to pulling back from full electric. Honda, Mercedes, Volvo, I mean, tons of companies are basically saying the full electric thing isn't working. People aren't buying them. The early adopters have adopted. There isn't follow-up. There isn't infrastructure to support these. And there's just not so much on the coasts where I live, but in the middle of the country, that it just isn't getting the traction that is going to be required for the government to leave these mandates in place. So it'll be interesting to see how that changes over time, especially with these new announcements. And it sounds like Dodge and Stellantis may have also seen this writing, on the wall, because they have made it. Initially, they had said this was a full electric car. And then not too long after that, they said, well, it's an electric car, but we're also probably going to make a model with our new straight six, which is, at that point, if you're putting an internal combustion engine in it at all, bring back the goddamn Hemi, as far as I'm concerned. But I don't know. We'll see. I have heard good things about Dodge's six. I've heard it puts out a mass of bunches of power, and that it's very capable. But everything is so new. We really just don't know, especially what it's going to look like when they actually put it in the car. They are showing two versions now, kind of like when they rolled out the initial the previous body style Charger, Challenger. They showed two-door versions across the board. They did the same thing with the new one, and now they're showing both a two-door and a four-door, and that's kind of cool to me. That's a very kind of throwback thing. I can't think of the last time a car company made like a coupe and a four-door from the same body style. Maybe it was it Dodge with the Neon? Maybe? American car wise, I know Subaru did that with the Impreza. You could get a two-door Impreza and a four-door Impreza, but I can't remember, other than the Neon, I can't think of the last American car you could buy as a two-door and a four-door. I don't know. I'll have to look that up. Man, I kind of feel bad now, because I know there's like probably three or four guys screaming their heads off at the stereo or their radio or their cell phone, however they're listening on this, going, it was this, it was that. So, all right, damn it. I'm definitely going to have to look that up. All right, well, on to the next. All right, so I'm pretty stoked to talk about this one. I'm kind of a nerd. I'm definitely a fan of the guy, and any excuse to talk about Ed Roth is a good one as far as I'm concerned. And it's March, so it was his birthday this month. And so happy birthday to Ed Roth. We certainly miss him. And if you don't know who Ed Roth is, if you do a quick internet search on whatever platform you like to search on, you'll figure out real quick that you are familiar with his stuff. Ed Roth, if you're listening to this, you're definitely into cars, and I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. But in case you don't, Ed Roth is probably the thing that you're going to recognize of his first is going to be Rat Fink. He's a creator of Rat Fink, which is the kind of his counterculture response to the popularity of Mickey Mouse. And of course, you can get Rat Fink statues and stickers and t-shirts and wallets and keychains and anything you can think of that could be manufactured for purchase. It can be bought in a Rat Fink version by Moon Eyes, or and who knows how many other bootleggers that have stolen, that particular figure over the years. But he's way more than that. Ed Roth is credited by pretty much all the guys from that era as being the guy that came up with the idea of putting an image on the back of a t-shirt. And if you kind of stop and just think about that, that's pretty damn incredible. I mean, somebody would have done it. I'm not saying it was it's not like he came up with that, the formula, for fission or something like that, but that's pretty damn cool. He started doing it for side money at car shows. He had picked up an airbrush. He was always an artistic guy, and he just started drawing, weird shit like Rat Fink, and people wanted it on a t-shirt. And so he started selling them. He called them weirdo shirts. And for a long time, they were available by mail order. In pretty much all the car magazines. You can go back, and if you pick up like some vintage magazines from the 50s and 60s, you'll probably come across one of his ads. And he had hired several different artists to, you know, help crank him out once they started picking up, you know, in popularity. But he would still do them himself at car shows, you know, real regular. So that's pretty cool. He also was prolific on the show circuit, you know, starting with traditional, what we would call today traditional style hot rods. But he really pushed the boundaries when it came to what a show car hot rod could be. Building cars, you know, like, well, also being a big part of what made the T-Bucket thing popular with his Excalibur, and then moving on to, so, you know, far, far more custom and wild bubble top cars like the Beatnik Bandit or the Mysterion. I mean, his contribution to the automotive legacy, his legacy in the automotive lifestyle is, it can't be overstated. I mean, he's, as far as I'm concerned, he's one of the big ones. No question. Like, if you had to come up with 10 people that had, you know, the most influence on the direction that, you know, our car culture has gone, you know, over the years, and Ed Roth wasn't in that top 10 somewhere, I'd say you didn't know what you were talking about. So happy birthday, Ed. His family carries on, and he's still selling his products and stuff influenced by him, and they have licensed a few artists to, you know, make new versions and creations within, you know, his genre, the Rat Fink kind of images and stuff like that. So tons of stuff out there. Moon Eyes still sells a ton of the Rat Fink style stuff. So yeah, it's worth checking out if you don't have a lot of experience with it. It's kind of fun. I've got a couple big Moon Eye or Rat Fink statues here in my office. So anyway, happy birthday, Ed. You are absolutely missed. Okay, so I'm recording this on March 7th, and there's been a couple rollouts. So the, well, I will start with Rivian. I'm a fan of Rivian. I haven't got a chance to drive one yet. There's a bunch of R1Ts and R1Ss around where I live, and every time I see one, they make me smile. I think probably because the first time I saw one with my kids, we're sitting at a stoplight, kind of looking at one across the intersection, and at like a front three-quarter view, and it happened to be a white R1S. And I can't remember if it was my son or my daughter, but one of them said, "That looks like Baymax." And I don't know. So it just stuck with me. Every time I see one, I think of that cartoon character Baymax, and it makes me laugh, makes me smile. And therefore, I guess I like the truck. I don't think it's bad looking. I think the options are really cool. I think that whoever is in charge of their marketing is, I can't imagine somebody more obnoxious. I've never met them, but just like watching the marketing and the videos and the stuff that they pull out or that they put out, it's not easy to watch. It's a lot of like ambient nature noises and, you know, like really pushing the like ideal of the, you know, like the outdoorsy tech bro kind of thing. And that's just whatever. It is what it is. What are you going to do? So, but I think they're neat looking cars, truck and SUV. And today they announced two new models, the R2 and the R3. The R2, I think it's pretty good looking as well. It to me had some kind of Land Rover vibes to it. If you look at it from the side or rear three-quarter view, it's just a smaller SUV. They show a projected estimated range of 300 miles, 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds, and a capacity of 5 seats. But, I mean, it's the smaller version of the SUV that they already have, And that is not, I don't think it's that much smaller than a Tahoe. I don't think it's bigger than a Tahoe. You know, so it'll be interesting to see what the R2 compares with size-wise. But I'm betting it's going to be kind of in that Land Rover, like Jeep Cherokee range, just from the way it looks. I could be wrong. We'll see. The R3, though, I think that's where the interest is going to be. So to me, at least, the R3, I've already posted, it kind of looks like what would happen if one of the, you know, the original, the first Rivian, the truck or the SUV, had a three-way with a Lada or in a Golf Synchro, which I don't think is a bad thing. I mean, it definitely has like kind of everything from the A-pillar back to me. It got some serious like 80s hatch vibes. The front, it looks like a Rivian, which is great. You know, Rivian has a design language. It's a look. You know it when you see it. And I don't think it's bad. And every single one makes me think of my kids and Baymax. So, I mean, makes me smile every time I see it. I really, really like the full width taillight on the R3. And if you go to the Rivian website and look at the, just kind of click on what it says R3 when it first loads, it's the video for the R3 is distinctly different from the way they're positioning the other vehicles in their lineup. The R3, it almost looks like they're doing a rally stage. So it seems like they're going to position this as more of a sporty off-road kind of fun, but like basically like kind of the off-road version of the 80s hatch, which is what it looks like. So unfortunately, they don't list any specs on the R3, and of course that's the one I'm kind of feeling. Not that I'm interested in an electric by any stretch at this point, especially with all the changes that are happening and with the really scary legislation that is being pushed and the patents that we're seeing come across from different manufacturers in regards to the you know, self-driving, self-repossessing, the ability to you know, not only be 100% always tracked, but also the ability for the like instant controls. There's a bill right now that, or a proposition that's being pushed here in California by a guy named Wiener, very appropriately named guy, who wants to limit cars, like built-in limit cars by GPS, to within 10 miles per hour of the speed of whatever the posted speed limit is wherever you are. And there's more to the proposition than that, but it's just the thought of some politician wanting to have that level of control over your day-to-day life and travel. If they can do that, they can do anything. And I've talked about it at length, and I've posted about it, and I'm beating this horse, this dead horse. It's good. It's the horse is going to be glue, but if it isn't already, so I mean, it's scary to me. I've got a lot of friends, and I do also work in the tech industry for my day job, and they are the early adopter folks for the most part, and it's bizarre to me that so many smart people don't seem to be at all concerned about what the potential abuses are of this kind of technology, especially since I know that they know every single one of these cars, not just from Rivian or Tesla or, you know, or Lucid, but all the electrics that are being made by GM and Ford all have built-in 5G, 4G, and Wi-Fi modems. So if somebody wanted to push out an update and you're anywhere within cellular or Wi-Fi range, there's nothing you can do about it. They're going to change your software. They can limit or extend your range. They can limit or extend the speeds you travel. They can limit or change where you can even go. And there's nothing you can do. So I've got a lot of, obviously I've got a lot of concerns, but style-wise, at least with the Rivian, I think out of what was announced today, the R3 is definitely my favorite looks-wise. It'll be interesting to see what the specs turn out to be. So yeah, that's the Rivian. Okay, so I'm recording this on March 7th, and there's been a couple rollouts. So the, well, I will start with Rivian. I'm a fan of Rivian. I haven't got a chance to sit in one or drive one yet. There's a bunch of R1Ts and R1Ss around where I live, and every time I see one, they make me smile. I think probably because the first time I saw one with my kids, we're sitting at a stoplight, kind of looking at one across the intersection at like a front three-quarter view, and it happened to be a white R1S. And I can't remember if it was my son or my daughter, but one of them said, "That looks like Baymax." And I don't know. So it just stuck with me. Every time I see one, I think of that cartoon character Baymax, and it makes me laugh, makes me smile. And therefore, I guess I like the truck. I don't think it's bad looking. I think the options are really cool. I think that whoever is in charge of their marketing is, I can't imagine somebody more obnoxious. I've never met them, but just like watching the marketing and the videos and the stuff that they pull out or that they put out, it's not easy to watch. It's a lot of like ambient nature noises and, you know, like really pushing the like ideal of the, you know, like the outdoorsy tech bro kind of thing. And that's just whatever. It is what it is. What are you going to do? So, but I think they're neat looking cars and truck and SUV. And today they announced two new models, the R2 and the R3. The R2, I think it's pretty good looking as well. It to me had some kind of Land Rover vibes to it. If you look at it from the side or rear three-quarter view, it's just a smaller SUV. They show a projected estimated range of 300 miles, 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds, and a capacity of 5 seats. But I mean, it's the smaller version of the SUV that they already have. And that is not, I don't think it's that much smaller than a Tahoe. I don't think it's bigger than a Tahoe, you know, so it'll be interesting to see what the R2 compares with size wise, but I'm betting it's going to be kind of in that Land Rover, like Jeep Cherokee range, just from the way it looks. I could be wrong. We'll see. The R3 though, I think that's where the interest is going to be. So to me, at least, the R3, I've already posted, it kind of looks like what would happen if one of the, you know, the first Rivian, the truck or the SUV, had a three-way with a Lada or in a Golf Synchro, which I don't think is a bad thing. I mean, it definitely has like kind of everything from the A-pillar back to me. It got some serious like 80s hatch vibes. The front, it looks like a Rivian, which is great. You know, Rivian has a design language. It's a look. You know it when you see it. And I don't think it's bad. And every single one makes me think of my kids and Baymax. So, I mean, makes me smile every time I see it. I really, really like the full width taillight on the R3. And if you go to the Rivian website and look at the, just kind of click on what it says R3 when it first loads, it's the video for the R3 is distinctly different from the way they're positioning the other vehicles in their lineup. The R3, it almost looks like they're doing a rally stage. So it seems like they're going to position this as more of a sporty off-road kind of fun, but like basically like kind of the off-road version of the 80s hatch, which is what it looks like. So Unfortunately, they don't list any specs on the R3, and of course, that's the one I'm kind of feeling. Not that I'm interested in an electric by any stretch at this point, especially with all the changes that are happening and with the really scary legislation that is being pushed and the patents that we're seeing come across from different manufacturers in regards to the self-driving, self-repossessing, the ability to not only be 100% always tracked, but also the ability for the like instant controls. There's a bill right now that or a proposition that's being pushed here in California by a guy named Wiener, very appropriately named guy, who wants to limit cars, like built-in limit cars by GPS to within 10 miles per hour of the speed of whatever the posted speed limit is wherever you are. And there's more to the proposition than that. But it's just the thought of some politician wanting to have that level of control over your day-to-day life and travel. If they can do that, they can do anything. And I've talked about it at length, and I've posted about it, and I'm beating this horse, this dead horse. It's good. It's the horse is going to be glue, but if it isn't already, so I mean, it's scary to me. I've got a lot of friends, and I do also work in the tech industry for my day job, and they are the early adopter folks for the most part, and. It's bizarre to me that so many smart people are not don't seem to be at all concerned about what the potential abuses are of this kind of technology, especially since I know that they know every single one of these device these cars, not just from Rivian or Tesla or or Lucid, but the all the electrics that are being made by GM and Ford all have built-in 5G, 4G, and Wi-Fi modems. So, if somebody wanted to push out an update, and you're anywhere within cellular or Wi-Fi range, there's nothing you can do about it. They're going to change your software. They can limit or extend your range. They can limit or extend the speeds you travel. They can limit or extend change where you can even go. And it's there's nothing you can do. So I've got a lot of concerns, but style-wise, at least with the Rivian, I think out of what was announced today, the R3 is definitely my favorite looks-wise. It'll be interesting to see what the specs turn out to be. So yeah, that's the Rivian. Okay, so being it's March, and trying to get a podcast out a month, I came across this article and the so it's this is unrelated. It's going to definitely fall in an unrelated section. So in Yokohama, Japan, they have this thing called a it's a well, they have them all over Japan, but in Yokohama they have this super massive statue. Well, I guess it's yeah, we'll call it a statue of something called a Gundam. So if you're not into like anime or like Japanese culture, which is totally understandable, think of like, I mean, if you're in my age group, an equivalent that you might understand or recognize might be like a Transformer. Basically, it's a big mechanic, like robot looking suit that is a main, just like in a car movie, we would consider some people might consider a car like a character in the movie. These suits are like characters in this super long-running, like Japanese anime or cartoon. Big time business. It's been around forever and ever, and it's so popular that there are literally huge statues throughout Japan, devoted to this particular series. But in Yokohama is the biggest one, and it happened to be next to a massive storefront that was built on the pier at Yokohama. This thing is 18 meters tall, and which is for those of us not in the rest of the world participating in the metric system, It's around just under 60 feet tall. So this thing is pretty massive. And I guess at certain times of the day, like it lights up and it's in this like huge structure, and then it comes out of the structure and like steam, and you know, it moves, and like the arms and the legs move. It looks like it's walking out. So if you want to get an idea of what I'm talking about, if you go online and do a YouTube search for Gundam Factory Yokohama, you'll, and it's Gundam, I believe. It's pretty cool. I'm not a fan of that particular series personally. I've got buddies that are. I have buddies that build all the models, and the models are really cool, especially since I'm in the, age range where Transformers, was a popular cartoon when I was a kid that I really loved. So, that type of stuff interests me. But I guess it was a limited run, and there, I don't know if the storefront that's there at the Yokohama Pier is going to stay, and they're just taking down the robot, or the statue. But the statue's definitely coming down this month, which is kind of a bummer. And it really begs the question, like, what are they going to do with this thing? I mean, it is massive. It's so big that like the structure that houses it has like an elevator that you can take to different levels, and it has like gangplanks that you can kind of walk around and see it. It's super impressive. It's really cool. I imagine that they're going to box it up and store it somewhere to be, reassembled, maybe down the road, but not an easy thing to deal with or to store. I can't help but imagine if this was something, in the US, if it was something that, had been created here and had the cultural following here that it does there, it probably would end up in the creator's front yard. That's definitely the American thing to do, is to put that sucker up in your front yard and piss off all your neighbors. I don't know. It was interesting. Kind of something that popped up in my feed that was unrelated, and I kind of like to imagine that somewhere in Japan, some like sweet old, I imagine the creator's got to be super old by now, Japanese dude having this 60-foot, robot that moves and shoots steam, and arms and legs move, like a clock or something, a grandfather clock making its chimes. He's got this thing like in his front yard in some Japanese city. All right, so that's that. Goodbye, massive mobile suit Gundam. I hope that they end up putting it up somewhere else, because it is pretty cool, and I'm super bummed I didn't get to see it. Like, even though I'm not a fan of the series, it would have been neat to see. Okay, so here's another unrelated one. Really, it's kind of asking for help, because I just don't even know what I don't even know. It's kind of one of those things. But I post quite a bit. I mean, I try and keep my personal life personal. I don't post a lot of, stuff about my family. It's a car thing, so why would I do that? That would be weird. But I do have a daughter, and she's playing basketball, and I've been going all the games, and she's loving it, and I'm actually shockingly loving it. I don't know or fully understand what's going on or the game, but it's a really good time. And I find myself wanting not only obviously to support her, but I kind of want to know better what's going on, because like I'll be watching something and something will happen, and all the parents around me are like, and they're like, "Oh, that was a foul." And I was like, "What was a foul?" Maybe it would be easier for me to tell if I wore my glasses to some of these things. I don't know. But anyway, it seems like it's something that she wants to pursue. And so I want to learn more. And if anybody's got a recommendation of like a YouTube video, or, I'm not looking for like an in-depth, I don't want to read the goddamn rule book, but if there's like a high-level explanation, or, I don't know, something like that, like an idiot's guide to for basketball, I wouldn't mind perusing it. So yeah, if you guys have any recommendations on that, let me know. I mean, I really, I'm hope I think she's gonna pursue this further, and I want to make sure that I'm there for her and, figure it out. All right, on to the next. All right, so I had a couple guys at the last show I was at bring up to me that they really liked my unrelated posts. And they were like, oh, are you going to incorporate that into the podcast? And I'm kind of ashamed to say it never even occurred to me that I should. Or so I thought, okay, well, if these guys think it's cool or they enjoy it, why not give it a shot? So this will be my first unrelated, and we'll see how it goes. So if you're in Northern California, well, actually, I guess it doesn't matter where you're at. All of the U.S. has got weird-ass weather going on right now. But here in NorCal, it's been raining like crazy. And so if you've got relatively young kids like I do, and it's raining, and you've already done all the house cleaning you can bring yourself to do, and there's nothing else, then you go to the movies. So we've been hitting the movies more often than we normally would, and there's a commercial that keeps playing, and we always go to the same theater, maybe that's why, but this damn commercial, it keeps playing, you know, like before the actual commercials, you know, or the previews start playing. And if you want to look it up, it should be easy to find. It's a Carnival Cruise commercial, and it's got Shaquille O'Neal in it, and I'm only saying his name. He isn't the part of it that bothers me. I'm sure he probably did his parts and didn't even know what the rest of the commercial looked like. So no issues with Shaq. Not that I'm a big basketball guy at all, but anyway. So Shaquille O'Neal is in it, and it kind of starts off, you know, where he's asking, like, who's having the most fun? And then basically it follows a family, and it's kind of ambiguous when it shows the family initially, but it follows a family as they're on vacation, and it says, you know, is it mom who's having the most fun getting a massage, or is it dad who's having the most fun, like whatever the fuck he's doing, and or is it little, you know, Billy, the son, like, is he having the most fun? And then it gets to the, you know, it's showing off the features, the things that you can do on their cruise. And then it gets to the daughter, and it goes, is it the daughter or her boyfriend having the most fun? And I was like, wait, what the fuck? Like, what parent? I mean, when you see these kids, like, they're obviously, if they're teenagers, they're like young teenagers. Like, we're not talking like 17, 18, 19. We're talking like 14, 15, 16, maybe. And like, every time I see it, I'm just like, what parent is bringing their daughter's boyfriend with them on vacation? Like, what, where does this occur? What idiot would do that? Like, maybe I'm old school. Like, maybe I'm, I don't know. I mean, I don't feel, I, every, nobody feels like they're that old. And I don't, I don't consider myself like super conservative. But the idea of taking my daughter's boyfriend on a commercial and or on a cruise with us, it's just wild to me. And the fact that this is in a commercial is real. I think that's the other part of why it's messing me up so bad. Because I'm like, what are they selling me on? Like, are they selling me on providing like ample hookup time for my kids? Like, what is a Carnival cruise about? I've been on a Carnival cruise. I don't remember seeing a lot of kids like running around. I'm not proud to say I was on a Carnival cruise. Certainly not my finest moment. But I mean, commercials are, you know, it's not something that they just film and like throw away, right? I mean, it's not the kind of thing where they're like, hey, Carnival says we got to film a commercial. Let's just knock this shit out. I mean, they got Shaq involved. They spent some money on making these commercials, and they're showing off the features that they think people are going to want to, you know, make these people want to buy, you know, I guess a ticket or a room or however you want to say it, book a cabin on one of these cruises. So they included the daughter and her boyfriend on purpose. And if you see the commercial, there's no way they're in their 20s. So like they're certainly not like engaged, or I don't know, maybe they're from Alabama. What the fuck do I know? But every time I see this commercial, it blows me away. It almost messes up the first part of the movie because I can't stop thinking about it. And obviously because my first unrelated post is that. So I don't know. If you guys have seen this commercial, I don't know. Do you care? Like, does it shock you at all? Like, am I crazy? Like, if you had a young, barely teenage daughter, would you take her boyfriend with you on a vacation? Like, shit's wild. I don't know. So there's that. Moving on. Is anybody still here? Just you? Okay. Well, I appreciate it. that was episode 19. Really stoked to be getting one out this early in the month. There was a couple announcements, which I already went over. If you made it this far, you've already heard. So I thought I'd take the opportunity and strike while the iron was hot. Really funny kind of thing to add here on the end was, and here in the States, like anything that doesn't have a V8 in it is, especially if it's meant to be like an American sports car. If you have the V6 version of a Mustang or the V6 or smaller version of the Camaro or the Charger or the Challenger, like it's really looked down upon. And I mean, you get a pass, like if you're cool or whatever, but if you're, you know, trying to rip around in one of those things, you know, kind of the one of the many, many running jokes about those cars is, you know, nobody drives faster than somebody with the entry level version, you know, of a particular car, you know, whatever car you want to talk shit about. But so when I posted about the new Dodge and how Dodge had initially rolled out their new concept replacement for the Charger Challenger 300 as a full electric, and, you know, as time has gone on, many manufacturers are pulling back on their electric offerings and they're really reevaluating, you know, jumping into the electric market. Dodge has also done that with this vehicle, and they've announced that they're going to be putting their straight six in it. I don't have any experience with their straight six. I haven't read any reviews on it other than that it seems to be built to put out big power, which is great, but it's still a straight six. And I know that, you know, here in the States, that's our mentality. But it's been really funny to see all of you Australian guys. Like, I know you guys love your sixes, and I'm not saying you're wrong. There are some amazing straight sixes out there. You know, the Supra 2JZ, the RB, you know, out of the Nissan Skyline. I don't know how many straight sixes that BMW has put out that have made great power. General Motors and Ford are certainly not alone. Or not to be left out of that. The straight six is a great motor, but it's just, I don't know. It's going to take some getting used to for us here in the States. So you guys down in Australia will have to give us some time to make the adjustment. But I did want to say I've really enjoyed watching, you know, seeing the comments and getting the responses from you guys in Australia and how you love your sixes. So we'll see how it works out. But that was episode 19. As always, you know, follow me, like all my posts, keep me, you know, high in the ratings or whatever. And hope you enjoy the podcast. Hope maybe I'll get another one out this month. I don't know. We'll see. But so far, I am on track. One per month. Let's see if we can keep it up. Have a good one, guys.